Hello and welcome to the Bankland Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 9 edition. I'm getting these down slowly every single week. I'm your host, Blake, joined as always by Rob and Tyler. How are we doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great, Blake. And by the way, great intro. I mean, compared to last week, that was smooth sailing.
Guess who doesn't remember last week? This guy.
Is that just because it happened last week or because you were drunk for the intro last week?
I mean, honestly, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, it's 50-50. I'm not even joking.
Little column A, little column B.
I was going to say half the time after the podcast, somebody texts me and is like, oh, I loved what you said about this, or texts all of us and says, oh, I loved what you guys said about this. And I'm like, I don't remember that conversation at all. And it's like 15 minutes after we put the podcast out.
Right.
No, it's an absolute data dump. As soon as we stop recording, I delete all that information from my head.
Yeah. As soon as Huey starts singing, it's over.
I even listened to it twice because I have to edit it. So like, doesn't half the time I'm editing it. I'm sitting there and I'm just like listening for shit that's fucked up. And I'm like, oh man, that's a really good point. Who made that? And it's my voice coming through.
I would be surprised too if I were you.
Yeah, there's over the last, is this the third or fourth year we've been doing the podcast?
I don't know,
four.
Regardless, over the last 4 years, there's been a lot of times where I'll have to go back, like on Saturday morning, and listen to the podcast that I recorded and be like, what the fuck did we say about my team? I don't remember a goddamn thing about that.
I'll tell you what, I never remember is who I pick.
So oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember who, like, I pick in our actual like NFL pick'ems. Don't remember that shit.
I
mean,
the only one I know is that I always pick against myself this year. Otherwise, I have no clue.
So we have roughly, because playoffs and stuff mess it up, but roughly 47 weeks worth of picks.
That's a lot of picks.
So like, what is that? So let's say 45 and how many regular season? Let's see. So well, yeah, it's probably 16, this is probably our fourth year.
All right. That feels right.
Yeah.
Feels right. All right.
So I guess before we jump into anything, how do you guys feel about last week? Let's just get some like one sentence reviews of how last week fantasy football wide, not even just, it doesn't have to just be Bag Clan. How did fantasy football go for you last week, Tyler?
Don't fear the Reaper. He comes for everybody.
Roger that. Rob.
You asked for one sentence. I gave you one sentence.
I can't believe I won.
I know.
That's my sentence.
In the bag league, I like how you said, you texted me saying, I might just win this week when you're already fucking up like 30 points with a player to go on Monday night. I was like, you jackass.
Of course you're going to win. But Patrick Mahomes is playing. You never know.
It seemed like a jackass thing to say to me.
No. Yeah, that was Sunday night when Patrick Mahomes still had to go. Plus, you just go to hell.
Seemed real braggy.
No, it wasn't braggy. That was before Dallas was done.
I was drunk and in bed, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You went to bed before the game was over.
Yeah,
we made a whoopsie on Sunday.
Yeah,
we sure did. So Tyler, that was then. I felt poorly about that until about like Tuesday morning. I did not feel well for a while after Sunday.
Yeah, we made some poor decisions.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Let's move into our news and notes portion.
Here is Blake with the news and notes.
All right. So we got a lot to talk about this week. First thing, probably the most important, crucial, pertinent piece of news that we need to talk about this week is PJ Walker is going to be named a starter for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. I don't know if it's the most important thing, but you're right. With Darnold out with the concussion, and I mean, he got hit pretty hard. Maybe not as hard as the Pittsburgh kicker, but he still got hit pretty hard. He's not playing. So, yeah, if you're a PJ Walker fan, get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, the roughneck himself. I will be absolutely glued to that game anytime it's on Red Zone. If it's not on a regular broadcast for Iowa, which I highly doubt, I cannot
wait.
That's a
wild thing to say. I'll be glued to that game anytime it's on Red Zone.
Yeah, right. So, hey, why don't you explain why you're going to be glued for PJ Walker?
So, yeah, back when the XFL was a thing, all of our between myself, Rob, Tyler, and then Chris as well.
Chris, yeah.
Split up the XFL, picked the team, favorite teams. Tyler had the Battle Hawks. Rob obviously had the Dallas Renegades. Chris took the Dragons, I believe.
Yeah, whatever it was, Seattle. Yeah,
Seattle Dragons, I believe. And then I went with the Houston Roughnecks. And PJ Walker happened to be the quarterback, and he was the best quarterback in the XFL. So I was a huge PJ Walker fan.
He was by far.
Jordan
Tom, who was on pace to win the MVP.
What?
You heard me. I said Jordan Ta'amu was on pace to win the MVP. PJ Walker isn't shit. Let's go Battlehawks. Kaka!
Yeah,
oh, my dick.
Battlehawks. So, yeah, that's just a total homer thing. In all reality, going kind of in an extremely loose sequential order, Calvin Ridley steps away from the game of football. That happened, came out, wasn't that Sunday morning?
Yes, Sunday before the noon games, like literally 11. It might have been around 11 o'clock.
No, it was even closer to that. It was probably 11:45.
It might have been. I had to make a quick move. It's like, hey, so glad I made that trade that we talked about last week that seemed to be a good trade, blah, blah, blah. Now he's gonzo. So, yeah, thanks a lot. I mean, I hope, you know, he gets his mind right and comes back still this year. But, yeah, that helps me.
To be fair, I think in terms of wide receivers, you came out ahead on that.
Well, yeah, we're – probably getting to yours on
just a bit,
a little bit. Yeah, true. All right, continue.
Huge trade happened. Wasn't that yesterday? I think Broncos trade Von Miller to the Rams in exchange for 2 second-day picks. So that's we're talking second or third round pick or 2 seconds, something like that.
Second and third, yeah.
Second and third, yeah.
And the Rams now have a fifth round pick in next year's draft and 2 sevenths.
They have nothing, but they now have Von Miller.
And they're only paying Von Miller $700,000 the rest of the year. The Broncos are picking up the other $9 million.
Right. So, I mean, this is their move to say, we want the Super Bowl this year. Screw next year. We don't care about salary cap or any of that business. We got Matt Stafford. We're going. So, I mean, more power to him. Greg's got to be happy.
Yeah, I also saw that the Broncos traded away one of their young corners to the Eagles. I just read that report today. I didn't really look into it. I don't really know much about that one.
I don't either. It's just, you know, the Broncos were kind of in it a little bit. They were a surprising team that was doing decently. It just seems odd that they're like, they seem to be, if I was a Broncos fan, bailing on the season.
Which honestly, when I saw the, if I'm correct on the corner trade, I'm surprised that they didn't look at trading, you know, Melvin Gordon away to the Titans, who were in desperation mode who signed Adrian Peterson and Deonta Foreman, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and you don't look at trying to trade, you know, a Melvin Gordon type, somebody who can't handle the backfield when I don't have it in front of me, but Javonta Williams has like top 10 stats just from his workload so far this year across all running backs. I don't know. It just seems like a weird move for Broncos who are obviously bailing on the season.
Yeah. Agreed. And great, great take. I didn't even think of that they should have been, you know, calling up the Titans and saying, you know, hey, we got a guy. Give us a fourth for this dude or a third or something. They could have got, you sign Adrian Peterson, you're desperate. Maybe not as desperate as Nick, but you're desperate. So, yeah, great take. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can think of is that with how quickly they signed Adrian Peterson, I think that they kind of had him in mind already if Henry did go down. And so I think he was kind of always their contingency plan. And so it totally would have made sense. I think they had the contingency plan already and they're just like, all right, cool.
Yep. Well, every team has that short list. I mean, that's what their scouting department does, is they get people that if so-and-so goes down, here's our list for a running back. Here's our list for receiver, defensive end, whatever. So they have people, that's what their scouting department does. So you're probably right, because when you think about it, Peterson does kind of fit what they do. But in a vacuum, if I'm comparing Peterson and I'm comparing Gordon, give me Gordon right now at this state. So,
yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say Peterson versus Gordon is I think Peterson runs a closer style to Derrick Henry, whereas Melvin Gordon has always kind of been that he's not going to run over anybody, right?
Sure.
He's going to get in the hole and try to sidestep you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
Peterson's north.
Peterson's going to try to run you over. And so one I wonder is, you know, they have this whole running scheme set up where, you know, hey, Derrick Henry is going to murder you. And so I don't know.
And nobody, even at his age, nobody wants to get hit by Peterson. I can tell you that. So, yeah. All right.
I don't know where Donta Foreman or Freeman, whatever it is, fits into that equation, though.
Well, he signed to the practice squad. So I think
they'll probably elevate him.
I don't think so. I think he is now Peterson's contingency because, again, he's a 240-pound running back. That had a Achilles injury early in his career and probably could have been something if it wasn't for that. But I think Peterson is early down in goal line. McNichols is the pass catching back. And they have one other guy that is kind of the.
Yeah. I don't remember his name, but yeah.
The fullback has kind of stepped in Blassen game, I think, or something like that.
Yep.
And he's kind of stepped in both roles. And so I think for now they're going to go kind of with that three-headed monster. And like I said, if somebody else, if either Blassingame or Peterson gets hurt, I think Foreman comes up.
There you go.
I see. We kind of stepped into the hole without me leading us there. Derrick Henry out 8 to 11 weeks.
We sure did. You're right.
Had foot surgery this week already.
Yeah. We already talked about a big blow. NFL wise, probably maybe back for the playoffs if they make the playoffs, but fantasy wise, he's mostly useless the rest of the year.
Yeah. And, per our good friend, Dr. Edwin Porras, these injuries are slow to heal.
Foot injuries. Yeah.
The specific break, especially, and when athletes attempt to return to play prior to 10 weeks, there's a 20% refracture rate and a 50% drop in production.
Wow.
If they wait the full 10 weeks, then the refracture rate gets cut in half and there's no loss of production. So, I know the reports came out initially and they're like, oh, it could be as little as 6 weeks. If it's the only way I think it's 6 weeks is if the Titans are falling out of the playoff hunt and they're like, we need you back now. Like, but otherwise they should let him rest the full 10 weeks and then come back.
Yeah.
For real life football, is there another player you can think of, non-quarterback, that would affect the team this much as losing Derrick Henry for the Titans? Because I don't know that there is.
No, not really.
Before last week, I would have said losing Dak for the Cowboys.
Well, yeah. Non-quarterback.
Non-quarterback, yeah.
Yeah. Right, because obviously anybody losing their starting quarterback is going to be a bigger deal than losing your running back.
The closest was McCaffrey last year, I'd say.
Last year?
No, they've done okay this year without him. Last year, they did terrible without him as far as wins and losses. Plus, they didn't have a great quarterback. So, no, this year I can't think of anybody.
The Saints
I'm just saying in general.
Losing Kamara right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Saints losing Kamara. I'm just saying in general, who, what other players would you,
I don't know. They're, like I said, we're grasping at straws. There's really nothing else. Derrick Henry is the most pivotal person on that team. I mean, he's,
yeah,
no, he's the biggest chunk to lose there.
I mean, maybe Cooper Kupp for the Rams, just because everything seems to funnel through him. And I would really wonder how that passing game would work without him.
You know, that's maybe the closest.
Yeah,
I'll stay in the same division. We've seen the Cardinals without Hopkins this year, and that's
not good.
That's been a rough offense without Hopkins. Yeah. When Hopkins, I mean, we saw it even with a hobbled Hopkins against the Packers. The minute Hopkins came back into the game, the offense just sprung back to life.
Yeah.
So that, you know, maybe that's another one.
Yeah, there's a few.
All righty. Let's see. Announced Michael Thomas out for the season. Announced himself. New ankle injury popped up this morning, I believe.
Same one.
Well,
back of the same one.
Same ankle, but a new thing popped up. It's like, hey, there's still issues. You're going to see a doctor again. And then Michael Thomas announced himself, I'm out for the season.
Yeah.
He should have had surgery back in January or February when the team told him to.
Yep. Agreed.
We looked
for him.
Yeah. All right. As far as just straight up news still goes, some weird stuff out of Cleveland today. Odell Beckham, reported for practice, but was excused from practice and then basically just not allowed. I don't really know what's going on. I didn't dive deep in it. I was kind of letting you guys gonna take this one over for me, but that's weird.
So it's been pretty much told to the players by the coach. Isn't Stefanski the coach? Am I right there?
Yep.
That he's no longer part of the team. So he will probably be a game inactive. And they're probably going to do that the rest of the year and let him go at the end of the year. Because they're already past the trade deadline. They can't do anything with him. They're not going to cut him now. He's probably going to be a game inactive every week. So, yeah, if you've got him, don't play him. If you've got Landry, he goes up because he's going to be the guy peppered with targets now. And some of the guys on the outside, like Peoples Jones, maybe he gets a little extra love, that kind of thing. But from a fantasy standpoint, Cleveland's the running game. That's what they're going to be now.
Yep. I think at this point, since we're past the trade deadline, there's really three options that are going to happen here. The one that you said, for lack of a better term, the Deshaun Watson situation,
right, where
he's on the roster and he's just inactive. He's not going to be around the team, et cetera. Which I don't know. I mean, it's certainly an extreme situation. If the team decides to go that route, the next one, if Odell really wants out as bad as he says, work out some kind of agreement with the team to where the team doesn't have to pay the salary to release him, his full salary.
Right. Restructure and then cut.
Yep. And then he can sign with somebody else. The last one is just the team cuts him and eats his salary, which I don't see that happening.
They don't want to do that. No.
So I think, I don't know. I gotta think that can they put him on waivers too? Is that another option? If a team is willing to take his entire salary?
I mean, the problem, if you put him on waivers, if he passes through waivers, nobody claims him, then he's just a free agent. And you get, I mean, they're not trying to get anything out of him. Nobody is going to want to trade for him because they got to take the salary. They're already paying him this year, whether they waive him or not. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out how much Odell wants to play football this year by whether those negotiations start with his agent and the team. And it sounds like they're already talking, but I think the most likely situation is they agree to some sort of buyout and he becomes a free agent.
We'll also find out how much of a problem he is in the locker room. If Cleveland gets rid of him quickly, that's a signal that they don't want him around. If they sit on it and just like, hey, you can just sit on your ass the rest of the year, then it's more of a personality thing. And it's not as much as he's like poisoning the locker room, as they say. But if in the next week to 10 days after this report, he's gone and just off the team, it means it's like, it's more important that he's out of here than anything else. So it's not a good situation. And this is the second time he's run himself out of town.
Yeah, I've seen opinions posted. You know, there's really two schools of thought when it comes to Odell. He's, you know, a washed up diva, lost his game after the injuries, things like that.
Or I agree with that. That's my take.
Or there's the school of thought where he is still one of the best receivers in the league who can't find, who's not in the right system.
No.
Where he could be like a Randy Moss who left the Vikings, went straight to Oakland, did shitty, and then went to the Patriots, found the right system, found the right quarterback, and then was reminded that everybody, yes, I am the best or one of the best receivers in the league. I don't know where I subscribe. I'm more to the former instead of the latter at this point, just because I think he was kind of a diva in New York. But
if he has a change of heart in his own mind, like Antonio Brown did, who left Pittsburgh, and again, somehow Oakland is involved in this, or now LA or Las Vegas, excuse me, but then went to Tampa, and now, except for his injury this year, has been like great, right? So if he can go the Antonio Brown route, I guess he can come back as far as production goes. But I don't know. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, and I mean, I think we talked about this on Sunday when we were online talking to each other. One of us made a comment that was like, hey, Odell catches that ball a couple of years ago, but he made a business decision just now.
And yes, I do remember that.
And then, said that. And then all this stuff now comes out after this, and it's like, yep, okay.
Yeah,
that right. That confirms what my eyes saw, or you know, whoever's eyes saw. And,
I think that might have been Blake that said that. I think
anyway. It really is no telling.
There's no telling.
Yeah, it's a mystery to all of us as to who said what.
He was really drunk. All right. Let's see. Let me look at my notes here.
Yeah, what else we got? A lot of notes.
Let's hit up COVID. COVID stuff came out this week. Got Fant on the list. Aaron Rodgers not playing this weekend.
That's big.
Looks like it's going to be Jordan Love. And then they also brought in Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
back to the practice squad.
He might miss 2 weeks because their next game is on a short week.
And Rodgers was telling everybody that he was vaccinated, and he is not.
He's not. No.
Oh, fun. Didn't know that little.
Yep.
Little
so ditty. he is out for a minimum of 10 days, and that's if he has no symptoms.
Right.
AJ Green on the COVID list.
Yeah, he's not playing. That
will hurt the Cardinals, especially if Hopkins is still dinged up. Saquon Barkley was tested positive, got one negative COVID test today, and then it just came out about an hour ago, placed on the COVID reserve list as well.
Oh, really? So
yeah, what? And I don't understand this situation because, like you said, there were a number of Giants. I think it was like 16 Giants players and staffers that tested positive yesterday.
Right.
And as of this morning, only one had been confirmed. And then Saquon retested and was negative, and it was like, okay, cool. If he retests negative tomorrow, it was a false positive. But then they put him on the COVID list. So I'm not sure if this is a semantics move and if he can still test tomorrow and test negative, or if this actually means that he now has a positive. And I'm lost in the situation as of the time of this recording. So I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, so the latest is that the sources told Barkley's second test was positive.
Oh, okay. That'll do it.
Oh.
This contradicts a previous report from Schefter that said the 13 Giants players who were retested today, only one had positive. He is vaccinated, so he can get two negative tests still before then, but he is positive as of right now.
Yeah, and if you're going back-to-back positives on Tuesday, Wednesday, I would say it's doubtful that you're going to get negative before Sunday.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Yep. I mean, here's the other thing.
Well, they're probably better off letting him sit because they have a bye next week.
So that's exactly what I was going to say. The only silver lining out of this is if you're a Saquon manager and you have Booker already, then you just get one more week of Booker and a bye, and you get a full steam ahead Saquon right. coming out of
the They're stupid if they try to play him. I mean, just play Booker. He did okay last week. He's always given a fantasy owner 15, 18, somewhere in that ballpark. Let's just go with that. So,
All right, sticking with the Giants, I'm moving into injuries now. How about that entire receiving core? What the fuck? We got Kadarius Toney, thumb, left the game last week. Limited practice this week or today.
Yeah, it was a laceration. He'll play. He'll be fine.
Sterling Shepard, DNP. Galladay, DNP today.
Yeah, both Galladay and Shepard will not play this weekend, according to my sources. Toney will play. He'll be fine. His injury, his thumb was a laceration. So it's a cut. He got cleated. He'll be fine. But I don't know about that Giants offense, empirically, but... Yeah.
It's nasty to have be a Giants receiver owner
or a fan.
Quarterback injuries. Dak is back at practice. Taysom is back at practice. Kyler Murray limited. Got an ankle injury.
He may not play this week.
That's really disappointing for Kyler Murray owners.
And when you look at AJ Green out, and you look at the other injuries they have on that team, this is a bad week to play Cardinals, I think.
Yeah, I think this is another situation where it might be beneficial to have Kyler sit. I think now, to be fair, I think if he does play, you're not going to get – don't play Kyler, but you may be able to get some value out of the pass catchers because he might just be doing, you know, two steps drops and launch. That sort of thing, or a little bit more value out of Edmonds and Connor as well.
Corey Davis downgraded to doubtful if we're sticking with receivers. Don't know how much you want to roll with Jets receivers after, I mean, the Mike White experience last week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting too much weight into the 400-yard outage last week from Mike White. Show it to me a couple of times before I'm going to get excited.
I know, but it was just a nice.
It was definitely exciting.
It was a nice outing by somebody you didn't expect it from.
Right.
There were several of those.
Last injury I have is Montez Sweat, fractured jaw, I think is what the report said, out for a month. So the Washington defense gets worse, if that's possible.
That's right? Actually a big blow. He's been better than Chase Young this year.
Yeah. I don't think anybody has the Washington defense in our league, but boy, how far have they fallen?
If you're playing anybody against the Washington defense, you probably have a pretty good leg up.
Yes. Yes.
And one more, Blake, before we move on.
Trust me, Tyler. If you're talking about the big one.
I'm talking about the big one.
Okay, the developing one. I was gonna do a little bit of that's it for news. Oh yeah, we have Henry Ruggs.
No, that's not the one. The most important one of the week. Our favorite boy, Jameis Winston.
Oh, dead.
Tore his ACL and has MCL damage. Oh. He's done for the year, which is why Taysom Hill practicing off of that concussion is relevant.
Right. I didn't write that one down just because. I mean, really, who cares?
How dare you?
I mean, we could have folded that in with the Michael Thomas news, right?
We could have, but both of you guys dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, we did. We're bad. All right, let's talk about Ruggs there.
So, yeah, Blake. I mean, it's the biggest, you know, football and like kind of real life news, celebrity news, if you want to classify him as that. I guess I'll just say Henry Ruggs involved in a vehicle collision that resulted in a homicide and then was charged with a DUI and manslaughter occurred. What was that, Tuesday morning or was that
Monday morning?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
He was super released
high speed,
by the Raiders. You know, he was going insanely fast.
Yeah.
That's a fucked up situation.
Yeah, agreed. Nothing more to really say there other than, you know, sorry for the families that were involved, you know.
Yeah, and I hope did. I hope the family gets every single dime of his football money.
Yeah.
And yeah. While he rots in jail.
He'll see. He fucking better see jail time. I mean,
I think the minimum right for the original charge is 2 to 20 years.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure with the speeds and stuff, they're going to get him for reckless, whatever, and et cetera, et cetera. And add whatever you have to on top of that and let him rot.
I mean, if you were going 80, let's say, you know, you might get a little extra, but going 150 something and then the airbags deploy at 127. Sorry. That's aggravated. Yeah. He better get five at a minimum.
Oh, plus he had a gun in the car as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. He had a loaded gun in the car.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about it and breaking it down because honestly, at this point, he's not worth it. It's not worth talking about it.
No.
Just figure we should probably acknowledge it and
you
know, let's state the obvious. He's droppable in all formats.
Exactly. And in any fantasy league you're in, he is absolutely droppable. He will not be anywhere close to valuable as a human or as a fantasy football player ever again.
If you have some dummy in a dynasty league that will give you anything for him, congrats.
Congrats.
Congrats. Because
he's droppable in redraft 100% because he's not coming back this year. But dynasty, he's droppable as well.
Yeah.
All right. I think unless you guys think I missed any notes,
now let's roll.
News or injuries or anything like that, we can into our waiver segment.
Let's do waivers.
All right. Waivers ran this morning. Number one, going for $28, Adrian Peterson to Testicle T. I'm doing a quick scan. The next highest bid for Adrian Peterson was $0.
Nice. I mean,
Testicle T wheeled and dealed for Fab between last week and this week by trading away players and whatnot, and then immediately spent all of it on a player that had zero bids.
And I actually think the most surprising thing here is that Adrian Peterson had zero bids. Well, I guess there was I put in a bid for $0, but no other money bids because there are definitely running back weak teams in this league. In a PPR format, I think McNichols is actually the better pickup, which is why I wasn't willing to spend any money personally on Peterson. Obviously Nick needed somebody to replace Derrick Henry.
Yeah. But he already had McNichols. He probably could have just thrown $10 on Peterson and, you know, but that's on Nick. So, all right.
our next highest bid was actually on Boston Scott, but it was not succeeded by the Hedgehogs because they succeeded in picking up Jameson Crowder for $10, who also had zero bids.
Well,
however, what's that?
No, something happened there because it goes in order of how much you – it goes in order of how much you put down. So that would have been the first claim. So he had to have put in a claim without dropping anybody. And then like he must have activated somebody off of IR or something that filled up his team. And he couldn't. Basically
his roster size was exceeded. He would have won Boston Scott for 15. Instead, I won Boston Scott for 6.
Nice.
I'd be interested to hear that story from his side.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what happened there. I just kind of tried to, you know, riff about it. Snakes, myself, I had a Pat Freiermuth for $11 with no other bids on him.
Yeah, it was, hey, let's go back to that Boston Scott thing. It was unsuccessful because maximum roster size would have been exceeded. So that's
exactly we already said that.
Yeah, okay. We've covered that entire thing. I don't know where you were at this whole conversation.
I mean, okay, never mind. Sorry. Rewind.
So the Freiermuth.
Yes.
I mean, I think you definitely overpaid, but and I haven't looked at your team, but how are you doing on tight ends? Probably terrible. That's why you're putting $11 down.
Gronkowski on a bye and then Tyler Higbee, who's middle of the road.
Oh, then yeah, I definitely think you overpaid for way overpaid for Freiermuth. Then if you're just getting a bye week replacement for Gronk.
I'm honestly I'm looking for a replacement for Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, I get that.
And I don't know if Gronk's gonna ever come back, you know, like he was week one and two. I don't know. You really don't know with ribs and a punctured lung. I mean, it's a serious injury. It downed Drew Brees for a long time last year. So,
and he's been coming on, but you probably overspent.
I probably did. I also had $98 in fab to spend going into this.
Oh, week. Well then. Okay. Then who cares? That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. There are no wrong answers, I think, in this conversation so far.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Next. Let's see. We talked about the Jamison Crowder for $10 to Hedgehogs. I mean, we didn't really talk about it. I mentioned it, but he dropped Robert Tonyan, who's out for the season.
Yeah. Done.
Boston Scott was added. Taysom Hill added to the Reapers for $3.
Good speculative ad. I like it.
That one, just to give everybody a heads up, that one started at $13 and then I reduced it to $6 and then I reduced it to $3.
Solid. If you'd left it at 13, we'd have been like, geez, nobody even bid on him. Nice.
Let's see. Let's just looking at these. Cardinals D added to Whitefish for nothing.
For nothing. Come on.
Nico Collins added to the Reapers for nothing. Otherwise, there's really nothing much to talk about here. Testicle T added Brian Edwards for $0.
I mean, there's a little thing. I kind of like the Donovan Peoples-Jones ad for nothing to the Reapers after the news on Odell Beckham. You know,
I'm not looking at that part.
Oh, he provides a little. I mean, he's not going to be as good as Jarvis Landry, obviously, but he provides a little something if you need something, you know, some bench stuff. I can't believe somebody actually added Carson Wentz. So that's a thing.
Oh, I was about to say, I like the Carson Wentz pickup for $0 to replace Geno Smith. He's been decent for fantasy this year.
I mean, yeah,
he's pretty consistently in the mid 20 points.
I mean, yeah. You know what the best thing that Tesco T did is drop Damian Williams to get Tashae Sharp. That was his best move of all these moves he did. That was his best one, in my estimation. Dropping a guy who's not getting any run in the Chicago run game for a guy who's now going to take over for Calvin Ridley.
Right.
All right.
Rob, he actually dropped Tajay Sharp later that day.
Did he really?
Yeah, oh,
he
to add to Sean Jackson.
Who was released by the Rams. Oh my God. The agency.
Why would you do that? Here I praise you, and then you add to Sean Jackson, who's not even on a team yet. What are you doing?
Well, stuff and things for sure.
You know,
from
you know what I'm gonna do? The
testicle tea.
I'm gonna pick up Tashae Sharp right now. Fuck you. I'm not going to. I'm just kidding.
All right. We spent a lot of time talking.
We sure did. Let's go to matchups and
the matchups. We got like four trades to look at.
Oh, goddamn. Fine. It's time for trades. It's time for trades. It's time for trades.
So we had a few trades that we need to talk about. We had all the way back to Friday, Tyler tells me. Yeah, Friday, October 29th, we had the Hedgehogs traded Mark Ingram to Testicle T in turn for Miles Sanders.
I mean, I don't know. Miles Sanders, I don't think could possibly get any worse than he was. and ouch. I don't know that Ingram can get any better without a Kamara injury. So I think this is pretty easily the Sanders side, but I don't know about you guys.
I have zero opinion of this trade.
I also do. So
neither of these running backs are ever going to breach a starting lineup barring an injury or a severe bye week hit. I just think whatever.
All right. What's our next trade?
Saturday, Hot Snakes traded Michael Pittman for Whitefish's Jarvis Landry. I will tell you, this occurred in the afternoon. Alcohol was involved. It was before Michael Pittman's blowout game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman. I like all these disclaimers after I spent all weekend calling you the dumbest boy.
Yes. Well, that's because I knew it was going to happen. But personally, when it happened, Michael Pittman was never going to break my lineup. I have four amazing receivers that he is never going to be starting over. Secondly, do I want Michael Pittman or Jarvis Landry on my team? Who do I like better as a player? Jarvis Landry for sure. So give me Landry.
And now three. Odell Beckham's gone.
Odell Beckham is, hot trash.
So it's not looking – I mean, for last week it looked terrible because Pittman had a lot of points, but it's not – yeah. I mean, I still like it for me, but if I had never done it, I would be looking at Landry going, yeah, I got some shit now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that Landry has looked up since the trade happened.
Yeah.
However, Pittman is like really good. And even if he's never going to crack your lineup, then trade him for a running back that could crack your lineup, or trade him for something that could crack your lineup, not a worse receiver.
All right. What's the next one, Blake?
Riding the don't care train on that one.
Yeah.
Next trade was Testicle T and Fantasy Reapers. T sent Tua Tagovailoa for Reapers, Jameis Winston.
It was really for 10 fab. Because yeah, Jameis was already out.
Translate over in my log, so I don't care.
Yeah, I remember it because I had to do the transaction. And so, yeah, it was 2 for 10 fab is what it ended up being. Which is fine. In my book, you know, whatever you got to do.
I mean, sure. But then you're going to spend all of the fab you just gained on Adrian Peterson.
Notwithstanding what he did with it, that doesn't count. We're looking at the trade in general, you know.
The trade in general, sure, I don't care.
It's fine. Exactly.
There's other quarterbacks that you can, you know, go pick up for free that aren't Tua.
All right, what's our next trade? Do we have
another
one?
Next trade is T trades the Bucks defense and Zach Ertz to Whitefish in return for the 49ers defense.
And 18 fab.
Yeah, I mean, this one looked really bad, and I immediately texted you and said, how much fab did you give him? Because 18. I was like, there's no way that trade goes through if fab isn't going the other way.
18, which is quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no opinion about this trade.
Yeah, I did it because I've been spending fab every week on defenses because I've been playing the wire and all that. I was just like, just give me the Bucks the rest of the year. Give me a tight end I don't have to spend fab on, especially since one of the tight ends I was going to go after was the one Blake spent $1 million on. So, yeah, it was like, just give me a tight end for this week and a defense. I'll give you a defense and I'll give you a bunch of fab. Screw it. So this one, I think, worked out for both of us, to be fair.
All right. That is all for trades. Unless you guys have anything else to add on those.
I got nothing else. That's trades from Blake. There's usually not an end bump, but I'm throwing it in there.
Say, we usually don't need a bumper on the way out of the segment. Nope. Usually it's on the way into a segment. Like, let's talk about how we did last week on picks.
Let's talk about picks. Let's talk about picks. We got them picks on the sticks. Let's picks.
Hey, Rob, can you give me a sad bump for picks? Because we're going to need it.
Oh, here you go. Let's talk about picks. Let's picks.
I also like how our longest bump thus far is for our shortest segment.
Well, now that we have that over with, between the three of us, we went 5-10 last week.
Solid.
Rob went 1-4. Blake and I each went 2-3. And the dice went 3-2.
Oh, gross. The dice beat us.
So right now, the dice is beating Blake.
Oh, no.
I'm in second, and Rob is in first, even after a 1-4 performance.
That's not good. Blake, you're losing to the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Womp, all right. Womp.
Womp, womp.
I hope that goes across. I just shook my entire desk.
Yeah, you did. And you're losing to the dice.
It's not a good life to be losing to the dice. Really, I'm in a war right now, calling on all generals, need assistance.
Yeah, unit needs assistance.
All right. Yeah, so thanks
Blake's for calling our on segment. All three brain cells to rub together and try to give him picks.
Yeah, so let's hope they serve me well as we move into our matchups this week.
It's time for matchups with Blake, Rob, and Tyler. They've got the matchups. Tyler's not a liar.
I'm not convinced that all of these bumps aren't exactly the same.
I mean, the words do have
that quality, don't they?
Rob is the Nickelback of bumps. Just everything sounds the same.
That's right. Look at this pick segment. Every time I do it, no, never mind.
Write him down next time. Just like yeah, you
why can't you give
time?
Us like it's time matchups. See how different that was? See how I differentiated from all the rest of our bumps?
Fine. Rewind. Listen,
Rob, no rewinding. Rob, you're on the hot seat. Next week, if you don't pull it out next week, I'm going to put Tyler in charge.
Everyone will be different. I got it.
I got another one for my audition. Nate sucks ass.
Oh, that's perfect. When we are doing whatever matchup is Nate, you do that one. I love it.
Perfect. All right. Well, it's very apropos. Our first matchup is the 4-4 Kegerator versus the 6-2 Backdoor Hot Snakes.
Let's start it.
Currently, win probability is at 50%. We are extremely evenly matched.
Yeah.
I'm going to list the quarterbacks, and then I'm going to go finish making my drink, and then I'll be back.
Shut up, because you don't get to say nothing until the end.
The Kegerator is going to play Carson Wentz against the Jets. Versus Kyler Murray, questionable oopsie daisies at San Francisco.
Yeah, as it stands right now, I have to give this to Carson Wentz. I have to.
God, I hate it.
Right?
I mean, you have to.
Yep.
Especially who they're playing, the Jets. I mean, the Jets are not that good, and Kyler Murray's hurt, so yeah, I have to agree. Oh, I hate to agree.
Yeah, that's an ouchie. I'm not sure what to do in this situation. It's going to be a bad week for me. Running backs. Kegerator has Aaron Jones at Kansas City and Miles Gaskin against Houston versus Zeke Elliott against Denver and Khalil Herbert at Pittsburgh.
So for both of these, if you gave me a neutral game script, I like Zeke and Herbert way better than Jones and Gaskin. I'm not sure. I think Zeke will still do things against Denver, especially at home.
No Von Miller there anymore.
Yeah. Sorry to jump in. Yeah. So I think he'll do fine. Herbert should be able to. I mean, we have seen Herbert in defensive matchups that we didn't like still do well. But Gaskin is Houston. Houston's nothing. And Kansas City allows all kinds of yards. I think it'll be closer than you think, but I'm going to take Zeke and Herbert.
I'm actually going to take Jones and Gaskin purely because with Rodgers being out, I think they're going to rely heavily on the run game to get going in Green Bay. I don't think they're going to let Jordan Love, you know, go crazy. So give me Jones and Gaskin.
All right.
Okay. Receivers. We've got Adam Thielen at Baltimore and Debo Samuel, questionable, limited to practice today against Arizona for the Kegerator versus Tyreek Hill against Green Bay and Jamar Chase against Cleveland.
Yeah, sorry. This is easy. This is Tyreek and Chase.
I mean, even though I think Thielen and Debo can do damage, Debo has been very good.
Yeah. But yeah.
I don't like the injury.
Plus, Kittle could play this week.
Right. So that takes a little bit of that spark away. Thielen, yeah, it really depends. But like Tyreek, oh, look what he did this last week. And Jamar Chase, I'm sorry. Nobody can stop him. So I completely 100% agree. I think it's Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase in this one.
All right. At tight end, Kegerator has Darren Waller at the Giants versus Pat Freiermuth versus Chicago.
I mean, Waller's back. He practiced today. He's fine. against the Giants. He's going to murder them. This is easy.
Yep. Agreed. At flex, Kegerator has Robert Woods versus Tennessee and Brandon Cooks at Miami against Mike Williams at Philly and AJ Brown at the Rams.
All right. This is easy, Williams and Brown. I'm sorry. Woods, even questionable. I mean, he's had problems because of, you know, his breakfast partner, Cooper Kupp. Cooks should do okay against Miami, but sorry, Williams and Brown for me.
Yeah, I mean, Brown is going to have Ramsey, so, you know, lower your expectations a little bit there. I totally agree. I think Cooks has another good game. Cooks looked great again. 6 for 83 and a touch. I just think Mike Williams and AJ Brown are too much. But if Mike Williams has one of his dud games, three of the last 4 weeks, and AJ Brown, you know, gets slowed by Jalen Ramsey, this could flip.
It could. It all depends on what happens with Woods. I think Cooks and Williams kind of cancel each other. You know what I'm saying?
And I just had to look. I mean, as much as we've been downplaying Woods this year, he's actually been super solid. Only one game in single digits. And what looks like 90 points in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the questionable tag is a little different for him, but I still like Williams and Brown. All right. Oh, God, defense. Oh, Saints against Atlanta.
Saints against Atlanta and Cowboys against Denver.
Mercy. Man, I think the Saints are going to put Lattimore on Pitts all game.
I agree.
And that could totally shut down Atlanta. On the flip side, Cowboys could have 3 picks against Denver.
Yeah.
Especially at home. Give me the Cowboys because of turnovers.
Give me the Saints.
Okay. Oh. Let's have Tyler tackle Nate's bench first.
All right.
Yeah, just looking through here, you know, Zach Moss is a really tough play right now. He's been solid, but it just seems like, I mean, he did have 6 receptions last week, but it just seems like they're continuing to go more and more to the pass right now. So you're going to have a hard time playing him. I don't want anything to do with Green Bay's passing game with Jordan Love behind the helm. And I mean, if Devontae Parker plays, he's got a questionable tag. You certainly have to play him against Houston. But other than that, I don't really think there's anything else you can do here.
Nope. Agreed.
So I've got, I think, 3 decisions to make. All right. With a contingency 4th. Kyler Murray or a different quarterback. I mean, I picked up Mac Jones because I kind of liked his matchup when Kyler Murray was going to be on bye. Don't necessarily like his matchup this week against at Carolina. It's not the worst.
But and not that's the best. And that's a Stephon Gilmore revenge game as well.
Yeah. So I don't really love that option to be me searching the waiver wire for another option there. Khalil Herbert or Boston Scott is my other decision.
Oh, you got to stay Herbert.
I think I have to stay Herbert. I switched twice in the last 24 hours on that position. And then it's the tight end, you know, Tyler Higbee or Pat Freiermuth. Do I go with the person I just spent money on against Chicago, or do I go with Tyler Higbee, who's been really fucking up and down? He's been really rangy. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
Where my contingency one is, if McCaffrey doesn't play, then obviously Chuba Hubbard looks to find his way into my lineup as well.
It's looking unlikely he will play this week.
Who, just McCaffrey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so you know. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. All right. Let's choose it.
Thanks for the help. You know, I agree with the questions you have. I don't have any answers or analysis.
I don't have any answers. I think exactly what you said is right. I mean, I like the lineup that you have right now. If you have additional information the rest of the week, you could make a change. But right now, with what you got, you have your best lineup.
You know what I would love to put in this lineup? Michael Pittman versus the Jets.
Instead of who?
I mean, A.J. Brown against Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Mike Williams, who's been in single digits three of the last 4 weeks? I don't know. Ouchie. Just you know, spitballing here.
Maybe I'll put Landry instead of Mike Williams.
There you go. Put him in. Fuck it.
All right. Let's go. I'm going to take myself. I can beat Nate.
All right.
Rob.
Me next. This really hinges on what quarterback plays. It really does. I'm going to take the snakes. Assuming he does something at quarterback, I'm going to take snakes.
Wow, I wanted to hear what Rob had to say about this. Matchup, that's fine. We can just cut him off, I guess.
Yeah, I'm done, I guess.
I am taking Kegerator here, mainly because after we'll get to it in my matchup, but Brady is on bye this week.
Yeah.
So I was in the market looking for quarterbacks, and there's a reason I traded for Tua versus getting somebody off the waiver wire because there's not a lot out there. So I think Blake's going to have trouble filling that quarterback slot with somebody productive. Give me Kegerator. My official hope is that this matchup gets hit by a meteor, by the way.
Ouch.
I want both of these teams to lose somehow.
Before the dice goes, I'm a little low-key annoyed that I looked at the league activity before the podcast and saw that Kegerator took Wentz.
Yeah.
Because I thought he'd be available to me either like Saturday or like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's a real shame that you thought that you were going to have somebody available and then somebody sniped him out from under you. It's not like you did that to me 2 weeks ago.
Don't worry, he's on the waiver wire now.
Yeah, great. Dice are taking snakes.
Cool. All right, that's 2-2. All right, let's go. We're 3-1.
There you go. That's how math works.
That's how math works. All right.
Our next matchup is the Scary Terry 2-5-1 versus the Christian Sunday School 3-5. Have we ever gone a year without a tie? I don't know if we have. Tyler, I need you to look that up for me.
Yeah, we have. No ties. Yeah, just go.
You can come back to me next week if you want to.
All right.
Currently, we have the Christian Sunday School heavily favored, but I'm pretty sure that's because we have a bye in the lineup.
Yes.
We've got Joe Burrow against Cleveland for Scary Terry versus Justin Herbert at Philly for Christian Sunday School. Now, just quarterback to quarterback, this is a wonderful matchup.
Yeah, but I don't believe it stays here. I believe he puts Lamar Jackson against Minnesota back in because Lamar was on bye last week. So if I'm going to already have to fill in for Chris Godwin, who's on bye in the wide receiver slot, I'm going to assume – he's got his shit together and puts Lamar Jackson against Minnesota against Herbert at Philly. Two quarterbacks from the AFC playing two NFC East defenses. Just NFC defenses. I'm sorry. Because of the rushing, I would give the edge to Lamar. As it sits right here, I'd give it to Herbert. But I'd have to believe he doesn't do that.
I don't know. There's a hot hand in Burrow.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a really, really cold hand in Herbert.
Well, when you don't make moves, I get to speculate.
So I don't know. I would, if it were me, I would feel the pull to start Jackson, but I would start Burrow.
All right.
And I would give it as the weeks have gone recently, I'd give it to Burrow.
I mean, you do you, boo boo.
All right, I'm giving it to Herbert, by the way. And also, Blake, we've had three ties in league history, one this year, and two ties in 2017. And that was it.
There you go.
Okay.
Love it. Damn.
I just remember there being a lot of ties. And, you know, my years really blend together after
a little bit. So let's see. would that have been the first year of the pod? No, 2018 would have been the first year of the podcast. But anyway,
probably. All
right. Yeah. Oh well, it would have been fun stunt if I was right.
All right.
Running backs. We got Dalvin Cook at Baltimore and James Conner at San Francisco for Terry versus Najee Harris home against Chicago and Chase Edmonds at San Francisco.
Oh my goodness.
Christian Sunday School.
So Conner versus Edmonds. Oh my God. That has to like cancel each other out. So you're just saying Cook against Baltimore or Harris against Chicago. Conner gets more touchdowns. Chase gets more catches. Najee gets everything. Cook is either great or negated. I'm pushing this. I have no idea.
I'm going to give this to Scary Terry purely based on, I think, actually, Conner and Edmonds won't negate each other this week.
You don't think so?
No. If Kyler's immobile, I think Conner gets kind of a boost in that goal line work where, you know, we won't see as much of a read option game on the goal line. So I that's why I'm going to give it to Terry.
All right.
Okay. I was going to lean Sunday School on this one very, very, very slightly.
I mean, and between us, we're a push. So,
all right. Receivers, Stephon Diggs at Jacksonville and Chris Godwin, who's on a bye. So we're looking at the choice between Rondale Moore.
Yes.
Tyler Boyd or Kenny Galladay?
Rondale Moore because Green is out.
So, yeah, Rondale Moore and Stephon Diggs versus Justin Jefferson at Baltimore and DJ Moore against the Patriots.
Jefferson and Moore, sorry.
Yeah. It depends who who's the corner for Baltimore. Humphreys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
He's Marlon really Humphreys. Good. And if he follows Jefferson around, I could see Jefferson having a slower day. Diggs is playing Jacksonville. So I see him having a better day than what he's been having at wide receiver 26 on the season. And again, with Rondale Moore, if Kyler Murray is really that hobbled, Rondale Moore, I think, is the short pass guy. You know, they're going to try to get him involved in end rounds and screens and that sort of stuff. I could see him having a decent day. I have to give it to Christian Sunday School by a hair just because DJ Moore is that much better than Rondale Moore and is the true number one there. But again, this is another one that if we get to Monday and this is flipped the other way, it's not going to surprise me a ton.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that one for sure.
All right.
Tight end, Jared Cook at Philly for Scary Terry versus Travis Kelce against Green Bay. He was shut the fuck down last week against the Giants.
Yeah, they doubled him. That's the new thing, double Kelce. I'm still going to take him over Jared Cook, sorry. But it's not as big as it used to be.
Yep. Yeah, Cook, you're touchdown reliant, and it totally could happen. You can't count on it like you can count on Kelce at least getting targeted.
Right.
Yeah. How many targets did Kelce end up with last week? It was like one in the first half, wasn't it?
Seven targets
total. Yeah.
Four for 27.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I do think they all came in the second half. It was really good for me because I was playing against him last week. So I was happy for that.
Nice.
Jared Cook's probably one of the most touchdown reliant tight ends. Agreed. That's startable in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Flexes. We got Jacoby Myers at Carolina and Sterling Shepard, who's doubtful as hell for Scary Terry. T. Higgins against Cleveland, and then Emmanuel Sanders at Jacksonville for Christian Sunday School.
Okay, so just to make life easy here, I'm going to pretend that Kittle goes in and plays the flex for Sterling Shepard. So I'm going to say Kittle versus Arizona and Jacoby Myers at Carolina versus T. Higgins versus Cleveland and Emmanuel Sanders at Jacksonville. Give me Higgins and Sanders.
Yeah, I would agree. Nothing more to add. I would agree with that.
Yeah, the Scary Terriers team has kind of fallen apart due to injury. It's
Yeah, it's just hurt.
It's not pretty. It's taking a real bite out of a butt on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, Falcons at New Orleans for Terry versus Steelers against Chicago.
Well, I think here he's going to actually play the Ravens since he hasn't replaced Godwin, who's on a bye. The Ravens were on a bye last week. Also, Lamar Jackson, I already said, I think he would play him above Joe Burrow. So we're talking Ravens against Minnesota. I think this is a little closer. Chicago played way better last week against the 49ers. Pittsburgh's defense is a different story. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I wonder why Chicago played so much better without their head coach, who was out with COVID.
Who will be back this week?
Will he? Is that confirmed?
Yes, probably.
Okay, because I was going to say, if Nagy is gone again, then I would flip this. But if Nagy's
100% true.
If Nagy's the head coach, then yeah, sorry, Bears, you're going to get blown out.
Will be so much fun and even more happy that I am not a Bears fan is right. If Nagy is back and calling plays again and they get killed, a shit show and get stomped on.
All right.
The first game he's back, oh my God, if
it'll be amazing.
If they don't fire him, when he wakes up. I'm not talking about the next morning. When he wakes up after the team curb stomps him in the locker room.
That's what I meant, when he wakes up the next morning. All right.
Bench. Let's have Rob talk first. Tell me about Scary Terry's bench. We kind of talked about it. Don't you talk
literally,
about it.
Rob, yeah, literally already talked
continue
about it.
Talking about benches and tell me about Christian Sunday School.
I mean, you're looking at it. He really doesn't have anything. No, he has nothing I would change. Maybe I know we like Steelers at Chicago. I might play the Patriots, who have been playing great defense against Carolina, especially if PJ plays. I know you love him, but you're talking about a guy who has barely played in this league. I might put the Patriots in there. That's about it.
Yeah, the only other thing I would consider, and I don't think you could make it happen in this lineup, but Hunter Renfrow at the Giants when, with Ruggs not being available.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't think his volume is going to change that much. I think Edwards is the one that sees the volume change, but yeah. You could definitely see more high efficiency or longer passes. Yeah, right. You could see him working more downfield.
Yeah. You just can't put him in ahead of Higgins or Sanders.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Even after Sanders goosed you last week, I don't think that's a trend that's going to continue.
I don't think so either. So, all right.
Speaking of trends, hey, Tyler, and I'm going to call on Nate also. You want to do a quarterbacks in their first start over 300 yards passing with PJ Walker with me?
No, absolutely.
Come on with Cooper Rush and Mike White last week, and let's go.
Shut up, you.
You go for it.
Yeah, who's winning this one?
That bet.
Fine.
Let's have Tyler go first.
Ugh. Boy. I'm going to have to go Christian Sunday School here.
Am I next?
Yeah, why not?
I will agree.
Yes, Christian Sunday School.
Nice.
That's a queen sweep.
Ooh!
For Blake. Christian Sunday School takes all four.
All right, who's next?
Next up is the Fantasy Reapers at 6-2. Versus Ooh. The 3-5 kicker points matter.
Oh, now Tommy needs to be quiet. All right, let's go.
I do not have a score projection for this one for some reason, so I can't tell you who's favored.
As it stands right now, I am projected 123.8, and kicker points matter is projected 129.2.
Correct, 100% true.
I refresh, and now look at that. The truth has been revealed. All righty, we got quarterbacks, Fancy Reapers, Tua. Against Houston, questionable, versus Jalen Hurts against the Chargers.
This is easy. It's Jalen Hurts. Tua has rib and finger injuries. The finger is a new one. I never like finger injuries on a quarterback. Hurts runs a hell of a lot more. Give me Hurts.
Yep. With the exception of last week, Hurts has been a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He should still be well or be good. I don't know why I said well.
Well,
running back, Darrell Henderson Jr. against Tennessee and Devontae Booker against the Raiders versus Kicker Points, Austin Eckler at Philly, and James Robinson, who's questionable coming off an injury last week. He's considered day-to-day. He's there playing Buffalo.
I mean, here's the issue I see. Henderson has been really good, and Tennessee is not a great defense. Devontae Booker is going to give you in the teens, even though Vegas is a pretty good defense. Eckler will do Eckler things. Robinson's the linchpin. If he was not hurt, this is easily Eckler and Robinson. The fact that Robinson has a heel injury, which is like the gear that running backs need, I'm sour on him. So I'm going to have to give a slight tilt to Henderson and Booker here just because of Robinson's injury.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know. It's really frustrating because Devontae Booker he's not really touchdown dependent because they don't really run in the goal line all that much because, I don't know, there's a bad goal line defense. They don't really get there all that often.
No, but he's going to give you 14 points.
He's dependent on getting the passing work too, Devontae Booker is. So, Darrell Henderson's solid. Austin Eckler's going to probably score the most out of all these running backs in the matchup.
Yes.
Ah,
Henderson will do well, and too.
Give me Robinson.
All right.
Receivers. We got CeeDee Lamb, who's questionable. Listed today, I think it was an ankle injury, or I'm going off memory on that one.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's a maintenance thing. It was an ankle injury, but he's fine.
He's also got Nico Collins, just recently added at Miami, versus a Deontay Johnson against Chicago, and Van Jefferson with the recent Deshaun Jackson release against Tennessee for kicker points.
So here's the thing. CeeDee Lamb, as long as he's healthy, which he should be, he's had like 200 or 300-yard games in a row. Probably another one. Deontay Johnson is the most targeted receiver on the Pittsburgh team, even with old man Roethlisberger at quarterback. Where this will come down to is Nico Collins against Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson 100%. is boomer bust. He could get a 60-yard pass, and that's it. And that would be enough to beat Nico Collins, who might get 4 for 45. You know what I'm saying? God, this is tough. You know, I'm going to have to give this to Johnson and Jefferson.
I agree. It's good. It's yardage upside. Van Jefferson has the bigger yardage upside against a not a great pass pass defense in Tennessee.
Yep.
And I don't know. I mean, you have either Davis Mills, who had his best game of the week last week, or Tyrod Taylor coming off an injury.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's a good chance with Houston to start Tyrod Taylor and then have him go out and then have a quarterback change, which doesn't help any receivers. So,
agreed.
Give me Jefferson and Johnson.
All right.
We got Kyle Pitts at New Orleans for the Reapers. As Tyler mentioned, he's going to be probably getting the Marshawn Lattimore treatment.
Yes.
And then we got Dallas Goedert against the Chargers.
I hate to say it. This is easy Goedert for me.
Yeah.
With Ridley out, it's hard for Pitts now. It's really hard for Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts kind of touched the moon a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if he'll soar that high again.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Flex AJ Dillon at Kansas City and Donovan Peoples Jones. He has not played at all or well recently.
Yeah.
He's at Cincinnati versus Michael Carter at Indianapolis and Darrell Williams against Green Bay.
This is easy, Carter and Williams. Williams hasn't been, spectacular with CEH out, but Michael Carter has been spectacular. Easy for me here.
Williams has carried the load for Kansas City with CEH out. He does not get the goal line work. It looks like it's
Gore.
Derek Gore?
Yeah, I think something Gore.
I don't remember. But it's Gore's work in the red zone, which – interesting to be sure, but Darrell Williams gets all the load in on the drives. Michael Carter looking like he's going to be a successful rookie.
Yeah.
AJ Dillon is not a pleasing person to see in redraft.
Yeah, agreed.
In a flex position. Yeah, I don't like Don Peoples Jones.
Yeah. All right.
Colts defense against the Jets for the Reapers versus the Chargers at Philly for kicker points.
This is easy Colts. I find it interesting. The Chargers are, or he's playing the Charger defense against Philly when he's playing Jalen Hurts. Find it a little interesting.
Open for them fumbles, baby.
You're a little at odds. You're saying, hey, get yards and touchdowns, but throw pick sixes, which could happen. But I, even though Mike White did great last week, I like the Colts against the Jets here on this one.
All right. So I'm looking at kicker points matter, checking out their bench here. You know how disappointing it is to see Allen Robinson
right
on a bench
and Robbie Anderson.
And that's a trade that we never talked about in the first segment. Allen Robinson not traded before the deadline.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, Robbie Anderson's down there. Noah Fant out for COVID.
Yeah.
No, it sucks. I mean, and you probably don't want to play the Broncos at Dallas.
No.
That's going to be a roasting right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got his best in.
No, I think you're playing your optimal lineup, Tyler.
Yeah, I got all kinds of bad on my lineup.
a lot of bye.
This will tie into my pick. I still want to hear what you guys think about my lineup or my bench, but I think my only hope to win this week is if Saquon and McCaffrey play. And with that, I'm going kicker points matter.
Yeah, I don't think either one plays because of circumstances. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go kicker points matter too.
Yeah, the bottom half of your lineup does not look well, and I'm on the skeptic side of those two running backs playing. So give me kicker points.
All right, and the dice are taking the Fantasy Reapers.
Oh, all right,
all righty. Our next matchup is going to be the 5-3 Testicle T versus the 5-2-1 Fighting Hedgehogs. T is going to throw out Dak Prescott looking healthy against Denver. Versus a struggling Pat Mahomes against Green Bay.
Wow. This is a tough one.
Give me Dak.
You know what? I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of past the boundaries of having a, quote, bounce back game for the Chiefs in general.
Yeah, what's happening there?
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff wrong with the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's Dak.
Leave it at that. Dak should be able to win this matchup, even if Dak doesn't throw for, you know, his 350 and four touchdowns kind of game.
Yeah, but he'll still – yeah. Yep, agreed. Let's go.
Running backs, we got Elijah Mitchell, questionable against Arizona, and Jeremy McNichols at the Rams. Versus Jonathan Taylor against the Jets and Cordero Patterson at New Orleans.
Yeah, this is easy.
Yeah, easy. I agree.
It's Taylor and Patterson. Mitchell, with the injury that he has, I don't see why they wouldn't just go to a different running back because they have 1,000 of them in San
Francisco. Literally.
And in the Tennessee backfield, like, you don't know what you're going to get out of anybody right now. I think McNichols is the lead back for this game. But it's against the Rams, who just added Von Miller to Aaron Donald. And who's their other pass rusher? That's a mystery to all of us. But this is Taylor and Patterson.
Yeah, agreed 100%.
Yep. Just as a preview for the Testicle T lineup, it's an oof city. When we're talking about running backs. So receivers, we got DeAndre Hopkins at San Francisco, who is questionable. And Cooper Kupp, the shining light of this lineup.
Right.
They're playing against Tennessee versus an out Devontae Adams because of what COVID. Is that for?
COVID.
Is that still COVID?
He's still not. He hasn't cleared the COVID, but he's expected to practice tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. We'll see. Let's assume active Devontae Adams.
Pretend he plays.
At Kansas City, who's, you know, trash on defense. And then Courtland Sutton at Dallas, who's been performing fantastically.
Oh, God.
I think it's easy. If we're assuming Adams is active, it's Adams and Sutton.
This is really close.
This is really close because Sutton is probably going to be on Diggs. And if Diggs is healthy, he has been shutting down people.
And on top of that, well, Diggs has been getting a lot of picks, but he's also been giving up a lot of yards.
He has been giving up yards. So,
but Judy being active is also cutting into Sutton's workload.
True. Cup is going to be Cup.
This entire matchup comes down to Cooper Kupp. And if Cooper Kupp goes for 40, like he can, totally can, then he wins this wide receiver matchup outright and could win the week for Testicle T. However, that's what you need. It's no longer a luxury for Testicle T. You now need that number one production out of Cooper Kupp.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100% with what you said. You have to give the edge, I guess, to Adams and Court and Sutton.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that Hopkins is hurt. And we don't actually know if Murray's gonna play. Right. For sure. So based on that risk, it's Adams and Sutton, just by a little bit.
Yeah, and sad for fantasy owners, when it comes to Hopkins being banged up and Murray being banged up, the Cardinals don't need to win, you know, the next couple weeks. I mean, record-wise, they're doing fantastic. Obviously, they want to win, but it's not like a win-and-out kind of deal for them.
Well, they need to – I mean, the Rams are right on their – I mean,
right.
On
top. Rams are on their dick, but
– yeah.
They have a week to play with.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
Tight ends. Dalton Schultz against Denver for Testicle T versus an IR'd Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Hogs.
Yeah, CEH is a tight end, isn't he?
I looked down a rank. I scrolled an idiot. Mark Andrews, Schultz, sorry.
Schultz against Andrews. All right. Yeah. So I
scrolled down and looked to the right.
You know what? I love Schultz this week because their other tight end is like actually injured. So every tight end play is for Schultz. But Andrews has been just like everything for Baltimore. I have to go Andrews. I'm sorry.
Yep. It's Andrews.
Yep.
It'd be super cool to see Schultz have another big game, though.
It would be. He could, because their other tight end is out.
Yeah.
I think. So anyway.
Flex, Jerry Jeudy. So we got Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton in this matchup, both at Dallas. And then here's the oof.
Oof.
Adrian Peterson is in Testicle T. Or not. It is Testicle T. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adrian Peterson's in this flex lineup. We got versus a IR Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a Hollywood Brown. So instead of CEH, we're looking at not Odell Beckham.
I mean, he's just hoping.
Christian Kirk.
I mean, there have been mixed reports out of Kansas City about CEH. Some people say that he could be ready to play this week, but man, I don't know.
I think that's why he has them there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this. Jerry Jeudy versus Hollywood Brown. Give me Jerry Jeudy in a game where they have to keep up.
I'm taking Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. Give me a push on that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then
you're so hopeful.
I don't feel comfortable ranking Peterson or CEH, so I'm just not going to.
Yeah. I'm thinking he put somebody else in there, and it's like a Crowder. It's like KJ Osborne. It's like a Christian Kirk. It's somebody.
If Crowder only we had probably a segment to talk about these teams' benches.
Oh, okay. Since I hate it, so I'm giving Peterson the edge over CH because I don't think he's playing. I'm doing it.
Defense, we got the Vikings at Baltimore for T versus the Bills at Jax.
Bills murder.
Yep.
All right, let's go. You know what, Tyler, tell me about the Hogs.
Oh God, I was, when you said my name, I was so ready to leave my teeth. So now yeah, I have to flip over.
Yeah, let's talk about the Hogs. Go ahead.
Boy. Look, Christian Kirk might be a decent play this week if, you know, AJ Green is out, DeAndre Hopkins is hobbled. Crowder could be a decent play against that cover two of Indy if they, you know, kind of stay underneath of that zone. Yeah, I mean, those are really your only two options. I know you just picked up T.Y. Hilton, but he's still out, and I certainly wouldn't be playing him. Oh, no, he's already been ruled out, so he's not playing this week.
There you go.
So I think your only options here are Crowder or Christian Kirk. And, you know, if CEH is active, I think you got to play him over those two. But if not, I think I would go Crowder.
All right,
buddy. Rob, tell me about T's bench.
All right, this is easy. If Hopkins doesn't play, which I have a feeling he won't, you put Jalen Waddle in there. All right, against Houston, who has no defense.
I'd have Jalen Waddle in the flex over AP right now.
Well, the other thing I would say is Bryan Edwards with Ruggs out should go into that flex over AP.
Right.
So I would do both of those moves. I would also, if it shows, you got to look at the reports. If Arizona is down all these people, I would seriously consider playing the 49ers over the Vikings defense. 100%. So I would look at those three things for testicle T as the weekend comes up.
All righty. Rob, what do you say?
I mean, as it sits, give me Hedgehogs. Yeah.
I will also take the Hogs, Tyler.
I will make it 3, and the dice will make it 4.
There you go. Next,
our final matchup for the Commissioner's Cup. Rob, give me a bump.
Let's go, Commissioner's Cup.
I enjoyed the blown out mic in the middle of that.
Yeah, that was different. They all start with "Let's go" in some kind of fashion.
All right, how about this one?
Here we go.
No,
Commissioner's
no
Cup.
More bump.
That's Rob.
Commissioner's Cup.
Good. I also enjoyed the blown out. I think Commissioner's Cup just has to have a blown out mic in it every time.
Right? It does.
Commissioner's Cup.
Nope. Boom. No blown out mic. Can't do it.
Love it.
Damn it.
Got it. All right. Let's go.
All right. Commissioner's Cup is going to be the touchdown my pants. That 3-5 versus the cup owner. See how Whitefish.
Somehow.
2-6. Really lighten it up on that one.
I am really liking it.
All right. What a disappointing matchup record-wise to end out the week. But, you know, that's the way it is when you tie and lose the cup. Hogs.
Yeah, suck you.
All right. Touching my pants is going to have Josh Allen at Jacksonville versus Matt Stafford. Questionable tag, but that never really matters to him. But he's playing Tennessee.
Boy, this is a fun quarterback matchup. Give me Stafford for the baseline, but Allen for the upside. Allen always has that rushing ability, but Stafford is going to get his against Tennessee. And both of these teams have the potential for a blowout, especially with Tennessee not having Henry. So I'm not really weighing, you know, whether they could potentially stop passing, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah. If you made me pick, give me the number 2 quarterback on the year in Stafford, but it's so close.
Yeah, Stafford is my winner here. He's always my winner. He's my champion.
Walker was your champion. I thought Jarvis Landry was your champion.
Yeah.
No, those are just my favorite players. I've always liked Matt Stafford, even in his days in Detroit. I never favored him for fantasy, but I just liked him as a player. I thought he had a lot of grit, a lot of gut, and now he's got a team and a coach around him who knows how to coach a football team. So, yeah, Matt Stafford's going to – gonna win.
It's not nice to say that somebody has a lot of gut.
Grit.
No, he said grit. He said grit and gut. He didn't say guts. He said gut.
I'm sorry.
He's got a lot of grit. He's got a lot of gut. You go with your gut.
Go. Well, there you go. Love it.
Why don't you just call him a big fat chubster next time instead of?
Why don't you use your brain?
You're not using your brain.
All right, running backs, pants. We got Alvin Kamara against Atlanta and Joe Mixon at Cleveland or against Cleveland. Sorry, they're at home.
Yeah.
Versus Whitefish has Nick Chubb at Cincinnati and Josh Jacobs questionable at the Giants.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. If I remember correctly, and I had to switch to my phone because of problems with my computer, but Cincinnati, no, I am entirely wrong. Cincinnati's been bad against running backs. So Chubb and Jacobs both have juicy matchups. Kamara, if we remember from the end of last year, Kamara with Taysom Hill was significantly worse. I do like Mixon versus Cleveland, but yeah, since I was so wrong about Chubb and Jacobs having juicy matchups, give me those two.
Yeah, I have no reason to disagree with you.
All right.
Receivers, we've got Keenan Allen at Philly and Devonta Smith against the Chargers for the pants versus a questionable Amari Cooper against Denver and then Michael Pittman Jr. against the Jets.
I love Michael Pittman this week. Let me tell you, Michael Pittman is a lock in every single lineup. Anybody that trades him is a goddamn idiot. Just dumb. The dumbest boy. I don't know how you do that. Michael Pittman went out and dominated last week, like we all knew he was going to against Tennessee. 15 targets, 10 receptions, 2 touchdowns, and now he faces the hapless Jets. Easy. Mm. Coopering Pittman.
The hapless Jets who are on a 2-game win streak.
The Jets gave up like 40 something. The hapless Jets defense. Yes.
Yeah.
Dollar bet, Tyler.
What are we dollar betting? What you laid out no parameters. You just said bet.
We are dollar betting. That was the premise. We're dollar betting that Jarvis Landry has more points this week than Michael Pittman Jr. does.
Ooh.
Oh, deal. Easy.
In bad clan fantasy.
Yeah, right, I'll make right. that. I'll turn that into a $5 bet if you want.
No, I said dollar bet.
I am that confident.
No, $1. He said $1.
Fine, Tyler. You pay me five to one odds. Then if I win, you pay me $5. If you win, I'll give you $1.
No, disagree.
Well, that's what you just said.
I'm not going to give you free odds, you idiot. You agreed to a dollar bet already, and then you're like, no. Hang on. 5-1. No.
$2 bet. Two.
A dollar bet plus a water bet.
Ooh.
Fine, I'll do a water bet. I don't care. Sounds like fun.
All right, done.
Also, Blake, to go back to your last point at the end of running backs, if you have no reason to agree with me, that's normally when I disagree with you as a person, just so you know. That's how that works.
All right.
I normally take your character into question if I have no reason to disagree with you.
I don't know why you had to tack that one onto that. Just now you're just being an asshole.
Well, you were the dumbest boy for trading Michael Pittman.
All right, next.
God, I hope Michael Pittman gets hurt this week. That'd be so that's fucking funny.
Oh. All
right. Tight ends. Yeah. Mike Gesicki against Houston versus Zach Ertz at San Francisco.
What do you think here, Blake?
I don't know how Mike Gesicki did last week. So I know he was on par for a fuck ton of targets. He's 4 targets, 3 catches for 48 yards. Not a ton of work last week. Zach Ertz. Same. They had basically the same game last week points-wise. I think Zach Ertz sees a lot of work this week. You know, if we have a hurt Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
A hurt DeAndre Hopkins, we could see just along the lines with Rondell Moore going underneath. We see a lot of Zach Ertz underneath stuff. He's really made pay dirt in Philly over the years with that extremely that kind of workload. I mean, a hurt Kyler Murray is basically the same thing as a normal Carson Wentz. So
your official prediction is Ertz?
Yes.
You're an idiot!
No, that's some good analysis.
This is Gesicki easy, and I am willing to go double or nothing on our water and dollar bet. Gesicki versus Ertz straight up.
No, I'm just saying that was some good analysis. They don't have much else.
And that's fine. I still think Blake's an idiot, and I am adamant that Gesicki will win it this week.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying he's not stupid.
I disagree. Hard disagree there.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think Zach Ertz is going to beat Gesicki by
I didn't say it was going to be a blowout. I said you were an idiot for picking Zach Ertz.
I don't think Gesicki will clearly outscore him. I think it's going to be a relatively close matchup, but I think Ertz has the much higher ceiling here in this matchup.
Boom, let's go.
Gesicki has outscored Ertz each of the last 3 weeks.
Right. I'm not arguing against that, Tyler.
Blake is dumb and he is wrong.
I'm talking about this matchup with the team that the Cardinals are going to be fielding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, let's go.
Whatever, Tyler. Flex. Let's get this fucking over with. We're both angry, obviously.
Right.
Julio Jones, questionable. He returned to practice today after that hamstring injury. There's also Leonard Fournette in this lineup for touching my pants. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about on the bench. We're going to get to there when we get there.
Yep.
Whitefish has Chase Claypool against Chicago and Damian Harris at Carolina.
Yeah, this is, well, obviously this is easy, Claypool and Harris, but Harris has actually seems to be the guy in New England. Look, whenever you feel solid about a New England running back, whenever you finally get comfortable, that's when the run pull happens. That's when they get you. Yeah. And so, shit, Bill could make Damian Harris inactive this week just for funsies. Like,
that's not going to happen.
Just be like, yeah, no, this is a Ramondre Stevenson week. No, I mean, everything points to Claypool and Harris winning this one easy.
Yep. Yeah. And I think I have to agree with you. Even just taking a quick glance at the bench for Touching My Pants, there's nothing in that bench that makes this look better for them.
Agreed.
Now, if Ramsey follows AJ Brown, and I can never remember which cornerbacks shadow and which ones don't, blah blah blah. But
I'm pretty sure Ramsey plays a side. I don't think he shadows. Yes.
Well, I was going to say if Julio is the number two target for that Rams defense, right? He's consistently facing the number two corner. I could see Julio having a decent game if he could, you know, stay on the field.
All right, Tyler, take a look at Pants' bench. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we need to fill a flex spot.
No defense call.
Ah, fuck. I hate the defense.
All right, fine. Skip it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Rams home against Tennessee versus Cardinals and San Francisco. It's a push, really. Yep. I mean, the Rams can get a lot of turnovers as sacks with, so maybe it leans more Rams with the new addition for Von Miller if he plays. I don't know if he's going to be eligible to play, but
yeah.
I think he'll be eligible. It's just whether he can learn the system. My guess is at least this week, he'll be one of those guys where they send him in on third down and say, "Hey, Von, go get the quarterback." And he's like, all right, coach. Got it. You know, you don't need to know schemes to go murder a quarterback.
True.
So right. I don't think he's going to play a full allotment of snaps. But as far as the Touch on My Pants bench, Brandon Ayuk actually showed signs of life last week, which is bizarre to say the least. Seven targets, four receptions for 45 yards. I don't think there's a better option on this bench unless you believe in Ty Johnson continuing to receive this pass volume, which Mike White really does love to throw to his running backs. So, yeah, I actually think I would play – I think I would play Ty Johnson over Ayuk just from a confidence standpoint. Other than that, I don't see any changes here that I would make. You can't be confident in David Johnson – after last week, that Houston backfield's a mess. So, yeah, that's what I would do. I'd play Ty Johnson in your flex and go from there.
All righty. Rob, tell me about your bench. What are you thinking?
The only change I would make is maybe Claypool, take him out and put Bateman in. That's it. I got nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, just hitting on Bateman. I think Bateman's one of those guys where if you have another good option, I don't hate sitting and waiting because we haven't, you know, we don't have a lot of tape on Bateman yet as far right. in the NFL. Right. What has he only played? No, he has played two games, six targets each time. It's just, you know, let's continue to see it with him. Let's get him continuing to roll. And with Claypool having a, you know, being a decent matchup, I don't hate the Claypool play there.
Yeah, that's it.
All righty. Let's see. I guess
you're not considering. Sorry, you're not considering Tony at all with the with the hobbled Giants receiving core.
We'll see how he is. Maybe, maybe we'll see how his. I said it was a hand laceration.
Right.
We'll see. We see how he ends up at the end of the week, but maybe because of what exactly what you said.
I'm going to take the fish.
Oh, don't take me.
Yep. Rob, what do you say?
Pants. I'm not going to pick me this year. I'm sorry.
Tyler?
Let's see. The dice are taking the pants.
There you go.
You know what? Let's make this 2-2. I'll take the fish.
Oh, God.
All right.
Gross.
Anybody got anything else? Anything else to add?
You know what? Good luck, and I hope I win. I would really like to be 3-6.
All right. We are over halfway through the season. Fuck. That's it.
That's it. Huey, bring us out.
Play us out.
Oh, boy. Guys, I am so not ready for this right now.
You're not ready? All right. Fine. Blake, let's talk a little bit about how terrible Nate is.
Oh, I love this topic.
I mean, how bad can he be, really? Small world.